I was a tomboy. I was always climbing trees, or I was down in the dirt playing cars with my brother. Or, more often, I was a horse. I have a tremendous imagination. My mother would many, many times say to me, "Honey, you never were yourself. You were always imagining you were something or somebody else." And usually I was pretending that I was a horse. Now, in order to make it real, I would eat oats, raw oatmeal, because horses eat oats. Or I would be out in the field and I would pluck a whole handful of alfalfa hay and eat that, because horses eat oats. Or my favorite thing was to tie myself, put a rope around my neck and tie myself to a tree and stand there pawing the ground with my foot and whinnying. Now, ladies, if you really want to be impressed, I was so talented that I could whinny, and when I whinnied, horses in the fields around would answer me. Now, aren't you impressed? I'll never forget the time a friend of my father's drove into the driveway and parked and got out of his car. And as he got out of his car, he heard a horse whinnying, or well, he heard a whinny coming from the orchard. And he said, "Well, Ben, I didn't know you had a horse." And my poor father had to say, "I don't. That's my daughter." God has a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor. And he delights to use the most unlikely, unlikely vessels. That battered pot that sits way back in the corner and wanted to stay way back in the corner. But by God's grace, he reaches, he takes that battered vessel, and he delights to fill the vessel with his glorious, powerful, loving, merciful, gracious self, and allow that battered vessel to serve him. I truly thank him from the depths of my heart for his long-suffering, his mercy, his grace that has filled my life moment by moment. I sincerely hoped after I graduated from Bob Jones University to go back to Washington State to hide among the apple trees. I'm an extremely timid and fearful person. I never, ever dreamed of living in the spotlight. And I could not live in the spotlight apart from God's enabling grace, moment by moment. And it is that idea that I want to share with you, ladies, this morning. I want to start by thanking you for being here. I know it means a sacrifice. Who here could not be home diligently scrubbing her house? Or some other thing that we just love to do, but we do put on Saturday mornings, right? Yes, because that's a perfect time to do it. Thank you for being here. And I really, really pray that the Lord will meet with us, that using his word, he will take us into that word and give us the blessing and the encouragement that he has for us. Let's open with another word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, how we do thank thee anew this morning for the fact that we can call you and know you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you, precious Lord, for the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ that has washed us from our sins, that has made us fit to be your children. Thank you for the grace that fills every one of our lives. Lord, we deserve nothing apart from your wrath, and yet you pour your grace upon us in the mercy and love of your heart. Now, Lord, may we look into the scripture. May we see then in a fresh way that which will challenge and rebuke and bless our hearts as we meet together. And Lord, may the praise all rise to you from each one of us. We pray in the blessed name of our Savior. Amen. Ladies, I'd like you to turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew. We're going to be looking at a very, very familiar section of Scripture. But I want to share with you a picture that stays with me from my childhood, and that is one of those many, many days when I had to entertain myself because my sisters were so much older and my brother was so much younger, that as an only lonely child, I had to go out and entertain myself. And one of the most favorite things I had, other than tying myself to a tree, was to go down by the little creek that ran at the bottom of the hill where our house sat. I was all alone there, but I loved the time that I spent there. I loved to watch what was going on in and around that creek. And one of the things that I found absolutely fascinating was water bugs. Have you ever seen a water bug? A water bug is a tiny, tiny creature that walks on the water. Everywhere one of those little feet hit the water, there's a dimple, but it simply walks across the surface of the water, never sinking into it. And one day while I was studying the Word of God, God brought that picture to my mind, and He said, "Bennett, this is what you do with my Word many times. You water bug. And the more familiar a passage is, the more you tend to water bug. You walk on the surface of what is there in that particular scripture because you feel like you've read it numberless times before. But if you want to get from my Word what you need from my Word, you're going to have to stop water bugging, and you're going to need to begin to sink into scripture." And ladies, the Word of God is absolutely without bottom. You can sink and sink and sink, and with every movement into that precious part of God's Word, there are riches that are beyond measure. So I want to water bug, first of all, the passage that we're going to consider. Right away, when you look at it, you'll know, oh boy, I've been here a million times before. But let's water bug it and then begin to go beyond water bugging. Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, let's begin to stop water bugging and really try to get into the passage and find just a few of the things that God has so gloriously put there for us. The Lord first grabbed me here in this verse, because as I looked at the word yoke, it almost jumped out of the passage, and I stopped and I thought, what a contradiction. Jesus is talking about a yoke, but at the same time He's talking about peace and rest. Isn't that a huge contradiction? And I begin to really think and pray and search out the matter, and I find it so wonderfully, wonderfully encouraged. And I'm just going to ask you to come with me as we go through these particular things. Yoke versus, is it really versus? Rest and peace. Well, it is on the human level, but not on the spiritual level. Not at all. Okay, let's really start by thinking simply of a yoke. You know what a yoke is. just as I do. But think about it. You know, when the Lord takes me to a passage like this and I begin to go down below the surface, many times I will go straight to the dictionary, even though I think I know the word. Haven't you found many times in life that though you know, you use a particular word day in and day out, if you happen to go to the dictionary, what do you find? Oh, it suddenly becomes concrete and very clear, doesn't it? So I opened the dictionary, and I found that there were two kinds of definitions. First, that having to do with a physical yoke, and then it also gave me symbolic meanings. And I found that both of these were very, very challenging to me. What is a physical yoke, according to the experts who wrote that dictionary that I opened? It's a means of binding together. If I had been asked before I went to the dictionary to define a yoke, that's not where I would have started. But that's what the dictionary pointed out, a means of binding together. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, what is he seeking? Binding together. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that right away just sort of leap out of the verse and say, oh Lord, thank you. This is what you're asking when you invite me to take the yoke, your yoke upon me. But now think a minute. Let's stay with the physical yoke for a second. In that binding together, that yoke is very solid, isn't it? It's not a flexible thing, ladies. It's solid. It is confining. Doesn't our soul fuss about that fact many times? The confining of being yoked to Jesus Christ. A yoke ordinarily is made either of wood and leather or wood and metal. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a yoke that's heavy. There's weight in it. Ladies, there is weight in living the Christian life. Let's be honest about it. And yet Jesus says, in my yoke, it's going to be easy and it's going to be light. Very interesting thoughts. I've always been interested to watch animals in yokes. When I was a child, you know, I grew up in covered wagon days, but all those years ago when I was a child, all of the work in the fields around me was done with horses, teams of horses. And those horses would go out yoked together. They were in a yoke every time they went out to work in the fields. And to this day, when my husband and I have the opportunity around the world to go to very, very backward countries, what's going on in the fields? Oxen are out there. It's not tractors. Oxen yoked together and accomplishing the work that they have to do for that day. Well, let's now move on to the symbolic meanings. Here's what the dictionary told me. A yoke means, first of all, subjection or servitude, symbolically, and or a bond or tie. Subjection, servitude. Am I subjected to Jesus Christ? Am I truly in servitude to him? Am I really in that bond or tie? Now remember, ladies, Jesus is not giving a command, is he? Look at the verse. He's giving an invitation. An invitation. My precious friend, God could have made us spiritual robots. Couldn't he? He could demand that I take his yoke upon him, upon me, couldn't he? He doesn't do that. Just as in salvation, he says, come unto me, accept my, the precious shed blood that I am doing to cover your sins. It's an invitation. It's not a command. And so he gives to me and to you, his blood-bought daughters, the invitation moment by moment, to come to Him and take His yoke upon us. Beautiful thought. Challenging thought. And ladies, that taking His yoke isn't a once-in-a-lifetime decision. I can remember when I was 16, we as a very poor family could not afford to send me to a Christian camp. But one summer, I knew some friends who were going to a Christian summer camp, and somehow or other, they told people in their church, not even my church, about me, and somebody paid for me to go to a Christian camp. The Word of God, the wonderful story of salvation, was very, very clearly and powerfully preached all that week. And by the end of that week, I could not just sit there. The camp week ended by building a campfire, and every attendee was given a small, crooked stick. And the invitation was made, if you want to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ, He who did so much for you, come forward and put the stick on the fire and let it be burned. I did that, and I meant it with all my heart. But ladies, do you know, I have to accept Jesus' yoke moment by moment. It's not a once-a-life decision. It's not a once-a-week decision. It is a moment-by-moment thing. Isn't it? Isn't it? The older I get, the more I am fully convinced that every cell in this mortal body has a default setting of sin. And it is going to go to sin automatically. I am going to have to choose to be yoked to Jesus Christ and not let that flesh go in the way of sin. And so I respond positively to the Lord's invitation to take His yoke upon me. All right, let's move on then to the Bible and consider the spiritual yoke. I was interested to find that God, in His Word, uses the yoke, the word yoke, in two ways. He uses it negatively, and He also uses it positively. Let me give you the four ways that I found that God uses the word yoke. You'll find in the Bible that He uses yoke as a symbol of bondage and slavery, a very strongly negative use of the word yoke. My husband and I have opportunity to see that yoke in various parts of the world as we see the awfulness of the devil's delusion, and the horrible, horrible false gods that are out there. That those precious people are in the yoke of awful, awful spiritual slavery. There's also the yoke of affliction. Human life hurts, doesn't it? And there are yokes of affliction. There are yokes of suffering, aren't there? Hard yokes. There is a yoke of punishment for sin. And I think of one dear friend who, in his pre-salvation days, was into drugs. Now today, he is a faithful, God-loving, effective Christian man. But he is suffering the fallout from the sin of his youth. It's a yoke of suffering, isn't it? A yoke of punishment for sin. And then the fourth negative way God uses the word yoke is in terms of legal ceremonies, the binding together of legal ceremonies. And we don't have to look far around us to see religions with the yoke of works, don't we? Hard, hard yokes. Heavy, heavy yokes. But then let's move on and think about the desirable and positive things about this yoke that Jesus Christ invites us to take upon us. first of all. Think with me. If I say, yes, Lord, I want to take your yoke upon me, what's it going to mean? Restraint. Restraint. Those two creatures that we see out there in the field yoked together, one's not going out here, and the other one going back here. They are restrained as they are brought into the connection made by that yoke. Restrained. Okay, what does that mean for those oxen or for those horses? Neither one of them is just going to be standing there looking off into the distance at the scenery. They're not going to be gazing. That's not the purpose of the yoke. And they're not going to be grazing. That's not the purpose of the yoke. There is restraint in that yoke. There is restraint in the yoke that I invite Christ when I respond to the invitation to take that yoke upon me. There's going to be restraint. I'm not going to be gazing, and I'm not going to be grazing. Why? Because the yoke is an instrument for work. Does not God throughout His Word tell us over and over and over again we're to serve Him? And ladies, that doesn't just mean in church. It means in every aspect of our lives, serving Jesus Christ. He needs us in every walk of life, in every aspect of life, to be serving Him, but I must be yoked with Him if I am going to be effectively and faithfully serving Him. He calls each one of us to service. My mind there goes to Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily, what? As unto the Lord, and not unto men. Everything, whatsoever. That spiritual yoke is a means of restraint, very, very definitely. And Lord, and ladies, it's not a mob thing. It's individual. God invites each one of us individually to be yoked with Him. One of the things that amazes me more every day I live is the individuality, the tender, tender, personal relationship Jesus Christ wants with me. Personal. Not blobs of humanity, not groups of humanity, really, but individual yoking with Him. What a glory! I don't even like me. I wouldn't like to be yoked to me. But Jesus says, come closer. Be unified with me in my blessed yoke. Okay, so restraint. The second thing, coordination. Coordination. Those two that are yoked together, those animals have to work together, don't they? One can't go off and do his thing while this one's going off doing his thing. There is coordination. Jesus Christ wants me to be coordinated with Him as I am linked with Him in that blessed, blessed yoke. Okay, but let's think specifically. Now, ladies, in any yoke of any two animals, one is a leader. Yes, they work together, but there is always one that's the leader. Jesus Christ is the one who is leading when we are yoked together. I'm not. Oh, yeah, I try. No. He is the leader. That means the direction of my life is going to be determined by whom? Jesus Christ. I didn't choose this path. He did. The direction. The effort is going to be a joined effort. How I thank the Lord for that wonderful, wonderful truth. Ladies, I cannot tell you how my life has been marked by my saying time and time and time again, I can't. God has seemed to call upon me for those things that I absolutely felt impossible to do and feel impossible to do. And they are. It's not me. It is not me. But when I take His yoke upon me, He enables. He changes can't to can. It is not this self that does it at all. It is His enabling coming through that precious, precious yoke. I am coordinated in purpose, that is, in accomplishment. Oh, ladies, there are so many times in life when my heart, my soul stands here and says, "Why, Lord? Why? Why this? How can this possibly come to glorify You? How can it mean anything? How, Lord?" But God knows. I may never understand. I'm sure right now there are things of suffering in my life, though I know I will never understand this side of glory. But because I am yoked to Him, I trust that He is accomplishing what He intends. And I depend entirely upon that. He is working out His purpose. And then the last thing I was thinking about in this yoke, we're going at His pace. You know what? That can be very frustrating. Because I have a lot of resource in me, spiritually. I want this person that I'm working with to really get this thing down again, get start growing and be the kind of Christian she ought to be. And I ought to be doing this really fat quickly. No. No, not if I'm really yoked to Jesus Christ. The pace is going to be His. And ladies, sometimes it's very slow, isn't it? But the pace must be His. But, and this is where we really want to concentrate, the most precious and blessed reality of that yoke is a proximity. Remember that first definition from the dictionary? Binding together. A means of binding together. And that, I believe, is the core of my Lord Jesus Christ's heart when He says, "Come unto Me and take My yoke upon you." He wants to be close to every one of us who names His name as Savior and Lord. Close in precious, precious relationship and growth into His likeness. How desperately I need to be yoked to Him if I'm going to be like Him. I can't do it out here wandering on my own, trying to accomplish on my own. I must be close to Him. Close. And think then on into that verse when He says, "Learn of Me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Learn of Me. Now the thing that jumped out at me in that part of this passage is the little preposition of. Have you ever thought about of? When Jesus says, "Learn of Me," here, He can mean one or of two things. He can mean learn about Me, and He can also mean learn from Me. And that is the kind of learning I need to be doing as I am yoked to Him. I need to learn about Him. I need to be in His blessed Word every day. Ladies, it doesn't matter what I think about Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if I'm not here, I'm not going to know Him. I will think up a false Jesus, just as is created out here on a daily basis around us. I must be in His Word. This is where I learn about Him. I learn about His character. I learn about His person. I spend time in the Old Testament and see Him high and lifted up as the God of creation, the God of glory, the God of all wisdom, the God of all power. And I come to the New Testament, and I spend time there, and I see Him who is meek and lowly, wonderfully gentle. But ladies, they're the same. They are the same. And I must rightly learn who he is and keep that in the core of my heart. And then I need to learn from him. Isn't it amazing that God sees fit to communicate with us? That he saw fit to put into writing what he wants us to learn. What a heart our Heavenly Father has. What a wonderful, wonderful heart. Do I take time to learn from him? Or do I just walk out the door every day, day after day after day, and go my own way, not really learning from him at all? How that must grieve the Holy Spirit. How that must disappoint the Lord. And I need to be yielded to him moment by moment. What does that mean? All right, it means that I hold tightly to the fact that he is God. He is Savior and he is Lord. Savior and sovereign. And I have to live out the reality of that moment by moment, reconciled to everything he chooses. Now, ladies, that's not easy. I can't count the number of times that it's been very difficult to be reconciled. We actually have three sons, not two. But the first one was only here less than 2 hours. He was our first. It was hard to be reconciled. But yoked to Jesus Christ, very, very tenderly, he enabled me to be reconciled. And not just reconciled, but to eventually, in that yoke of his enabling, use that thing to which I had to become reconciled to minister to others. I remember a young woman standing with her at the grave of her dead baby and feeling so deeply with her that I could say nothing. I could simply stand there with my arms around her and weep. But a number of weeks later, she wrote and she said, "Bennett, thank you so much for what you did at the funeral. You just stood with me and cried." Reconciling is not always easy. It can be very, very difficult. But by his enabling, we can be brought to rejoicing in all he chooses. You know, he tells us to rejoice in everything. And that is really the sacrifice of praise, isn't it? When your heart is weeping, and yet God enables you to say in that being yoked together, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." It is not easy to live out Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." But when we are in the proximity that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be in that yoke, we will know the peace of heart, the rest for our souls that goes beyond all human understanding. It is absolutely real. Why? Because of the material of the yoke. Love. Love. When Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me and take my yoke upon you," he's talking about that yoke of love that draws us together into that wonderful, wonderful reality of togetherness, proximity, that blessed "come unto me come unto me is so very, very sweet. It's essential because in Ephesians 2:14, we find this wonderful phrase, He is our peace. Well, then if I'm not yoked with Him, I have no peace. I cannot have peace. I must be yoked with Him because He is my peace, and thus I have rest under my soul. Well, what do I need? I need to have a heart focus that makes me delight to stay in that yoke. I like Psalm 27:4, where the psalmist said this, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the temple of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Beautiful, beautiful yoking verse there. And because I am human and weak and stupid and fault-filled and failing, I have to be constantly tending my half of the yoke. You know what? Jesus' half never gets loose. I may blame Him, but it's not true. My half of the yoke can become very loose. How? Well, it can be loosened simply by distractions. There's everything in the world out here distracting us, isn't it? Isn't it? And I can get loose there from that yoke. By discouragement. When I fail the Lord yet again, how my heart goes down, flunk! And I loosen from the yoke. I don't want that yoke to be chafing. Why would it chafe? Why would I rub? Why would it be feeling uncomfortable? It's not His fault, it's mine. Maybe I've been so disappointed in disappointments of life, maybe by broken dreams, that I feel the chafing of that yoke. Or maybe finally simply by difficulties that I already mentioned. Big ones, small ones. If I focus on the toughness, boy, that yoke can chafe, can't it? Finally, ladies, I want to leave you two scriptures that remind us very clearly of what comes to us through the yoke. What comes to us as we walk there and work with the Lord. When He says, My yoke is easy and my burden is light, Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If I'm not yoked, God's not working in me to will, to want to do His pleasure and to do His good pleasure. Very, very clear. And I like also Psalm 73, verse 26, My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. How desperately I need to be in that yoke. And then finally, coming through the yoke second is the flow of His grace. His keeping, enabling grace. Just as His grace provides all our salvation, so His grace provides all of our enabling. And ladies, if you remember nothing else from this talk together, please, please go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and write it on your heart. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all grace, may abound to every good work. Isn't that fantastic? Talk about all the alls and the abounding and woo-wee! It's glorious, isn't it? How wonderfully, wonderfully gracious of Jesus Christ when he says to you and me today, come. Come. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Let's close in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, as we have considered this precious scripture passage today, we rejoice all over again at the fact of your incredible love. Oh, precious Lord, thank you for the cost that Jesus Christ paid to purchase us. May we never become unaware of that price. May we consider the yoke, the invitation to take his yoke upon us, a precious, precious thing. And may we, weak as we are, failing as we are, nevertheless have hearts that truly and fully desire to be yoked closely, closely, moment by moment, with our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And it is his dear name that we pray. Amen.